chapter number 1 this morning. Not hard to find. If you open your Bible right to the middle, you should be right there at about the book of Psalms. And going to preach on a timeless passage this morning, a famous passage in the Bible, Psalms chapter number 1. No doubts dare say this is one of these passages that's been preached millions and millions of times. And so we're going to be preaching again this morning out of this text. It's a great text, and I thought it was a direction the Lord wanted us to go in the coming year and to start the year off right. And with how God can bless our lives, no doubt about it. Psalms chapter number 1, if you found it, say amen, I don't know you're there. Amen. All right, not hard to find. Psalms 1, the Bible says this, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day in and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Now verse number 4, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drieth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Now as we read this text this morning, it's obvious that God sets two ways before us. There's a way to have God's blessing in your life, and there's a way to have God's curse in your life, and there's no doubt about it. And in your life, you're going to have one or the other. You're going to have one or the other. And what I want to preach on this morning is the God-blessed man. I don't know about you, I don't want the curse of God. I want God's blessings in my life. We're going to preach on the God-blessed man this morning, and I pray, my prayer is for you, if you don't know the Lord, that you'll find the Lord this morning, or that He'll find you, and that you'll understand that there's a way to have God's blessings in your life. And if you're here this morning, you know the Lord, that will understand that there's a way not only to have God's blessing, but there's the way to have God's curse in our life and as well, and that we'll be careful how we walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's pray, and we'll ask for God's blessings. Father, bless the word this morning as we preach it. And God, Lord, without a doubt, this passage applies to everyone in this building, whether they're saved or whether they're lost. Lord, this is one of those passages that speaks to our heart and that's applicable. And if we'll, Lord, walking with you is the way to be blessed. And those who don't walk with you, Lord, that's the way to, Lord, to have the judgment of God in their life. And I pray this morning that we'd not have the judgment of God, that we'd have your blessing instead. Father, bless the word and guide my heart and lips to things that I'll say. Bring conviction on that one that's lost and undone in their sin that just needs to be saved. And Father, for the child of God that's walking with you, may their heart be stirred and encouraged. For that one that's walking away from you, may their heart be convicted. Bless the word, speak to hearts, and Lord, let your perfect will be accomplished now, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning as we preach on this thought of the God-blessed man, the blessing, the God-blessed man. Now, when it comes to the blessings of God, there's no doubt that God's promised to bless His children. I think the Bible teaches that, and the Bible says that. Romans 8:31, it says, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" What a great verse that is. 1 John 4:4 says, "Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." And the promises of the Bible are to the people of God. This is a promise, a book filled with promises. And if you will meet the condition, then the promise that God promised we can claim and thank God for it. When it comes to these things, though, and the promises of God are the people of God, not to lost sinners, and certainly not unto the wicked. That's what verse 4 and 6 is all about. That's why it says the ungodly, what, are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, there's one promise to the wicked. You know what that is? It's death, hell, and it's judgment. I think the Bible makes that very clear. In the book of Isaiah, if you flip over a few pages there, in Isaiah chapter number 57, the promise that God gave to those that are without Jesus Christ, those who do not want God's blessing in their life, those who do not want to walk with God, there's a promise to them as well. Isaiah 57 and verse 19 says, "I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him." them. But the wicked are like a troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. If you're without Jesus Christ this morning, I can tell you there's one thing you'll never have in your life. You will never have the peace of God that passes all understanding, because God's judgment is against all those who will not walk with Him. And that's God's promise. The Bible says very clearly that the way of the transgressor is hard. When you're walking away from God, you're going to have a hard life. You say, well, how can I have a better life? Walk towards God. That's how you have a better life. Adam and Eve, when they were down there in the bushes and they had fig leaves sewed on them, and boy, they were shaking and shivering there. And you say, why? Because they're walking away from God. The moment they came back to God, God gave them some skins and He clothed them and He forgave them and He covered them and He began to bless their life again. Let me tell you something. You can never be blessed when you're going the wrong direction. And the wrong direction is away from God. The right direction is towards God, towards the cross of Calvary, towards the Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says, broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which enter thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth life, and few there be that find it. I think Solomon kind of summed it up. And the psalmist summed it up. I mean, when we said the way of the transgressor is hard, boy, there's truth there. Psalm 7:11 says God is angry with the wicked every day. But he said, but God judge the right. God judge the righteous, but God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalms 9:17 says the wicked shall be turned to hell and all the nations that forget God. Those that are without Jesus Christ, let me tell you something, their life is a horrible mess. But with Jesus Christ, it's completely different. God blesses the man that walks with the Lord. The God-blessed man is the one who knows and loves God and walks with Him. And that's what we're going to preach on this morning. I hope that you're walking with God. And I hope if you're not walking with God, you'll make a decision to walk with God. First thing I want to look at is the God-blessed man, his manner of life. His manner of life. Look at verse number 1. This is a very simple thing. It says, blesses the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You think about the God-blessed man, his manner of life, his conduct. His manner of life, it's his conduct. You know, it's what you do. The God-blessed man, you know, what you do and who you listen to is so important in your life. The person who is going to be blessed, let me tell you something. That's the person who's going to be listening to God. You ever read this verse in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 15:33? It says, evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You know, when you're with the wrong people, guess what you're going to get? Wrong advice. Now, I always tell kids, you don't want to get advice from your friends in the bathroom at school because it's probably not going to be very good. You know what I mean? I've given advice and I've taken advice in the school bathroom and it never helped me to prosper. You know, I mean, one time I was telling a guy, he said, why don't you burn down your house? I said, well, that was good advice. You know, why don't you burn down your house? That's not good advice. I mean, the worst thing you can do is burn down your house. The worst thing you can do is take advice from someone who's as bad off as you are. If you want to get some advice, get some advice from someone who's being blessed. They made a movie a few years back, and it was about this guy who was he was divorced and he had a child and they were living on the street, and he saw a guy down there at Wall Street come out and he had a big car and he stopped and he said, can you just tell me what I need to do to have what you have one day? And he said, listen, buddy, he said, you need to go to school, you need to get your life straightened out, and maybe one day you'll have what I got. And before it was through, he had everything that guy had, and they made a movie about it. You say, what's that tell you? You can go from completely, absolutely nothing to living on the street, to sleeping in a closet, to have absolutely nothing, and have everything. But see, who are you going to listen to? You know, if you want financial advice, I don't think you need to get that at the Chattanooga Rescue Mission. Those guys can't tell you how to succeed financially, okay? Because they haven't done it themselves. If you want to know, hey, how to have a successful marriage, I don't think you want to go talk to some of these loons that have been married 25 times. That's not the person to talk to. Hey, if you want to know something about having God's blessing in your life, how about go to talk to someone who has God's blessing in their life? Amen. There's a way to be blessed. But you got to be careful who you're listening to. The God-blessed man, his manner of life, hey, he's not sitting in the seat of the scornful. He's not walking with that wrong crowd. He's not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. He's not standing in the way of sinners. We've been commanded as Christians to live soberly and righteously and to have the right kind of behavior in our life. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22 says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from all appearance of evil. You think about your conduct this morning. You say, well, does it make a difference what I do? Oh, yes, it makes a difference what you do as a Christian. It makes a difference where you go. It makes a difference how you act. It makes a difference with the God and who you're going to be. We look at me in the book of Titus. Paul wrote to Titus, the young preacher, and he gave him some advice about life. But in Titus chapter 2 and in verse number 11, as the Apostle Paul gives the command concerning conduct in the Christian's life, and Christian conduct is important. Now, it's hard to act like a Christian if you're not one, but I'll tell you what, if you are one, then you ought to act like one. Amen. Say amen there. That's right. We need to act like Christians. That's the problem in the world in which we live. People don't know how to act like Christians anymore because they're not. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11 says this, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. You say, can you live godly? Can someone really live godly in 2015? Well, can I tell you, Noah lived godly in the generation he lived in before God destroyed the world. He lived godly. Abraham lived an ungodly day, and he lived godly. And any generation, people can live godly. But you got to be a real Christian to do it. God wants people, His people, to be different. Look what He goes on to say. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify on Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Boy, there's some things in your life you ought to do different. And people ought to look at you and say, if you're a child of God, hey, that's who I want to be like. The problem is we become so much like the world. Amen. We look like the world, we act like the world, we walk like the world, we talk like the world. And why? Because we're walking the wrong way. Amen. And when you walk the wrong way, soon you'll be standing in the wrong place, and then you'll be sitting and doing the wrong things. You ever wonder how Lot ended up in a cave committing incest with his daughters? You know how that all began? That began in chapter number 13 when the Bible says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He pitched his tent towards, he looked towards Sodom and he leaned towards Sodom before him through. He's living there. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. And when you hear about him again in chapter number 19, he's sitting there in the gates. Did it cost him dearly? All of his children were killed and burned up. And Sodom and Gomorrah, his wife turned to a pillar of salt, and the only ones that left were his two daughters, and they were so deviant in their life that they produced children from their father. You say, how does that happen to a Christian person? Because you're walking the wrong way. When you walk the wrong way, soon you'll be standing in the wrong place. People say, well, they got mixed up with the wrong crowd. You are the wrong crowd. I love that. People say, my child got the wrong crowd. No, your child is the wrong crowd. Because birds of a feather do what? Flock together. I mean, come on. I mean, water levels itself, does it not? What communion have light with darkness? What concord have Christ with Belial? That's the devil. You know why people can get around in a low crowd together? Because they're all the low crowd. Pete Rose was always in so much trouble. He said, because he said, I have friends in low places. Well, he was as bad as they were. He just had a little bit more money than they did. But he was just like them. And look what it did to him. Look what it did to him. Banned from baseball for life. Disgraced, humiliated, lost everything. The one thing he held on to most was his pride in baseball. And the one thing he cared the most about is what he lost. You've got to be careful who you walk with. There was a preacher in his car and saw some sinners acting in a sinful way. And instead of driving by and moving on, he stopped and he stood around a while, and it wasn't long. Next thing you know, he lost his ministry, he lost his marriage, and his life was destroyed. You say, why? Hey, Conduct matters. Conduct matters. What you do matters, and who you do it with matters. Got to be careful. When you think about his manner of life, the conduct, and his companions, I mean, companions are an important thing. You know, when you see a sheep in a pig pen, you say, what's wrong with this picture? When you see a Christian in a casino, you say, what's wrong with that preacher? What's wrong with this picture? When you see the preacher in the adult bookstore, you think, what's wrong with this picture? There's some places you don't belong. And God's people find themselves in all kind of places where they don't belong. And how in the world are we going to have God's blessing in our life when we're doing the things and with the people that we shouldn't be with? 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, the Apostle Paul wrote to the believers in Corinth. The Corinthian church was the worldly church. They were the Christians. They were rich. They were wealthy. They were worldly. And the Apostle Paul writes them a book, and two books as a matter of fact, and writes them a letter to encourage them and to admonish them and to preach to them and tell them what they need to do in their life and what they're doing that's not right in their life. You'll notice what he says there in 2 Corinthians 6. He says very clearly, verse 14, and be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Are you the temple of the living God? As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Let me tell you something. You're not going to be blessed if you're in all the wrong places with all the wrong people. You're not going to be blessed. You say, what happens when you hang out with a skunk? You start smelling like one. You start looking like one. You start acting like there's a truth there. There's a truth. The God-blessed man blesses the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I hate to see Christian people go in the wrong direction. Because you know where it's going to end. It's going to end with a curse of God upon their life. It's going to end with personal destruction in their life. It's going to end with broken homes and broken lives and misery that they'll never be able to overcome. Notice his manner of life. The second thing is his meditation in the law. Look what it says in verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Last week, Sister Linda put those Bible reading schedules in everybody's bulletin. You say, why do you do that? That was no accident that we do that. Because if you're going to be blessed, then this book is going to have some part of your life when you're at home. Amen. This book is not something we just bring to church and use on Sunday. This book ought to be a relevant part of your everyday life. This book ought to be the one that's guiding you and leading you and directing your life and the things you do. We always say you are what you eat, and what goes in is what comes out. You fill your mind and heart with God, and guess what's going to come out? The blessings of God. You fill your heart and mind with garbage, and guess what's going to come out? Your garbage in your life. Psalms 119:9 says this, and you're in the book of Psalms, you can look at it, but it says, wherewithal shall young men cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You see, this old black book keeps us from sin. This old black book guides us in the things that we say and the things that we do. And if you're going to be blessed, this Bible is going to have to be a part of your life. I tell people all the time, they come to me and say, preacher, how can I get my life straightened out? Well, number one, come to church. That's a good place to start. Amen. Number two, start reading your Bible. Amen. You say, I don't understand any of it. Sarah was talking with Sarah. She says, she's on her second time through. She says, man, I'm just not getting it. I'm just not getting it. I'm reading the book of Isaiah, and I'm just not getting it. I said, do you really think this spiritual book you can read once or twice and get it? I mean, really? I mean, this is a supernatural book. And this is a book that cleanses our soul and cleanses our spirit and enables us to walk with Jesus Christ. I said, look, the book of Isaiah is a very simple book. Isaiah was a prophet. The book of Isaiah is 66 chapters. It's like a mini Bible. It's a Bible within a Bible. And it takes you from the beginning of Israel to the end of Israel, which is the end of the thousand-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And I said, so when you're reading through there, it begins with Israel, then the judgment of the nations, and then with personal living for God, and then takes you on down to the great tribulation and the time of Jacob's trouble, and then the thousand-year reign of Christ, and then the end of the world. I said, so when you're reading the book of Isaiah, you know, there's some things you need to understand when you're reading the book of Isaiah. A friend of hers, you know, people get things so goofed up in the day in which they live. They had this, I probably shouldn't tell it, but I'm going to tell it. They had a little wristband, and they had Micah 6:8 on there. And they had this wristband, and they made it and put Micah 6:8 on there because they wanted to encourage a family member who was sick. And they says, God's blessings on those who are sick. That is not what Micah 6:8 says. Micah 6:8, we used to sing it when we were in church years ago. And we'd sing the verse, who has showed thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. I sang it to Sarah when she told me what verse it was. And I said, that has nothing to do with being sick. But you know why they put that verse on there? Because they're stupid and they don't read their Bible and they don't know what the Bible says. You ought to know what the Bible says. And just putting a Bible verse on a wristband doesn't make you spiritual. You can walk around all day with WWJD and what would Jesus do? And I'll tell you what, he wouldn't do that. But see, we love to embrace fake Christianity. Let me tell you, that's not the way to be blessed. You can pretend all you want, but that don't make you blessed. You know, you can watch Barbie all you want and the fairy princess and all that stuff, but that ain't going to get you blessed. Oh, it's a good show, but that ain't how you get the blessing. You get the blessings from this book and what it teaches and what it says. But see, people don't know what this Bible says anymore. And that's why our nation has lost the blessings of God. And that's why, hey, America's becoming a dangerous place. Better be careful when you leave your house. And before it's through, everyone's going to leave their house with a gun. You say, why? Because America's losing its blessings. Because the God-blessed man is one who meditates in the law. One who knows what this book says and practices it. That's the problem today. People don't know what the Bible says. And they pass off everything as being Bible, and it's not Bible at all. Want to be blessed? Hey, meditate in the law. Find out what this Bible says. That's why the Bible says in Psalms 119 and 105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Oh, you better be careful what you think you are. You better be careful where you're getting your spiritual truth from. You better be careful what you pass off is God and not God. Because I'm telling you what, the television and videos and movies and radio and internet is not going to give you what you need to be blessed in your life. Amen. The eye is the most powerful influence of all of our members. The eye is the most powerful of all influences. You have five gates, five senses that enter into your heart. And there is no sense like the eye that enters into your heart. That's why the Bible talks about the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life is not of the Father. What goes through the eye goes directly to the heart. And that's why the Bible says, I'll set no wicked thing before me. I'll set no wicked thing before. Say, why? Because it's entering into the heart. And that Bible says in James 1, when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You see, our meditation has got to be on the right thing. You say, what's the right thing? The Word of God. The right thing is the Word of God. The right thing is allowing God's law to have a lodging place in our life so that we can be blessed. Let me give you the last one this morning. Very simple message this morning. You say you want to be blessed? Well, there's a way to be blessed by your manner of life, by your meditation in the law, verse 2. Let me give you a third one this morning, and it's by His maturity. By His maturity. Look what it says, and He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in season, and His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. Can I tell you, the God-blessed man is one who grows up in the Lord. You know what your goal ought to be is to grow up. You know what's wrong with our generation? We have a generation that can't seem to grow up. We live in a day when people are babies. They're adult babies. They're grown-up babies. And it's no wonder our society is becoming so disgusting because they're a bunch of little spoiled brat babies. I know that's hard preaching, but that's the truth. You got adult men playing video games, and their whole life is consumed with video games. You got adult men that all they want to do is play with toys. Do this and do that and play around and, hey, how about be a father? How's that one sound? Amen. How about raise your children and teach them how to do something? Hey, how about teach your little boys and your little girls something about family life? Something about, hey, being a Christian. You know, we got time for all the toys and all the games, but we can't even pray with them before they go to bed at night and read them a Bible story. God help us. We can't even grow up enough to do that. Oh, mom's got time to do all her things she's doing, but she don't have time, hey, to show them little boys and girls how to be a Christian and how to be a good wife and how to be a decent son and how to do some things. Hey, mom, you ought to be teaching them little girls how to cook and clean and iron and use the wash machine and use the dryer and how to set the table and how to do some things in life. How to cook a meal that a man would enjoy to eat. Hey, Dad, teach them kids how to change the tire on the car, how to cut the grass, how to do something in their life. How to be a Christian, how to go and knock on someone's door and say, hey, can I tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ? See, that's all about growing up. And we got a generation that don't want to grow up. A Toys R Us generation. I don't want to grow up. I just want to be a kid, you right? There's three stages in Christian maturity. And yes, it begins with a baby. And the Bible is for that, and the Bible says that. That Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, and it's not hard, it's not, you know, it's not mysterious. 1 Peter chapter 2, the Apostle Peter, writing to the Christian, says this, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that they may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That's a very simple thing. We got to grow in Christ. The Apostle Paul, when he writes the book of Hebrews, says the same thing in Hebrews chapter number 5. Hey, you got to grow. People got to have space to grow. I understand that. Hebrews 5 and verse number 12, that's what it says. For what time ye ought to be teacher, ye have need again, that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, the resurrection of dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God will permit. What are we supposed to do? Grow in Christ. Grow up. Move on in your life. Get off the bottle. Well, we live in a day and people, again, you want to be blessed? Then mature in God. Mature in Christ. Learn to grow. There's a young man stage that the Bible speaks of. In 1 John chapter number 2. Again, I understand people have to grow and you got to give people space to grow. But my goodness, they should be growing. In 1 John chapter number 2, back there before the book of Revelation 2 and in verses 1 to 3. This is what the Bible says, "My little children, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we know him that we know him if we keep his commandments." You say, what's the thing? You're supposed to be growing in the Lord, walking with Jesus Christ, learning to have a spiritual relationship with him. Verse number 12, he says this, "I write unto little children because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children because you have known the Father. I have written unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. And I have written unto you young men because you are strong and the word of God abideth in you, and ye are have overcome the wicked one." Now again, you're supposed to be growing in Christ. Verse 15, that's where he says, "Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." There should be some spiritual growth. Become a man. 1 Corinthians 13 says, Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spake as a child. He said, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Put down the toys and pick up the tools. Too many of God's people don't want to grow up. We got play babies and we got play boys instead of soldiers for Jesus Christ. You ever seen a commercial of the man sucking on a bottle? You say, that's disgusting. You're right. But it's the same thing with the child of God. It's disgusting when Christian people can't grow up and mature in Christ and find out what it means to be a real Christian. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 says this. If you'll look there, Ephesians 4. The Bible talks about growing up, going on to perfection and glorifying God in our lives. Ephesians chapter 4, if you look there in verse number 13, and I'm almost through, but Ephesians 4 and verse 13, notice what it says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man." We say, one day are we going to be perfect? Yes, one day we are going to be perfect at the coming of Jesus Christ. It says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Grow up from the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body and the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. That's what we were before we got saved, but now we're supposed to be something else. Verse 22, "If so be ye have learned him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, and that is behavior of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, wherefore putting away all lying, speaking every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." And then he goes on down and gives the rest of that there. You say, what's the thing? Mature in Christ. Go on to perfection. Grow up in your life and glorify God. And then verse 3 in our text, "He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." It's a new year. It's another year. Question is which direction are you going? Are you going with God? Or are you going somewhere else? You going to heaven when you die, or are you going to hell when you die? You walking with God and pleasing him, or are you walking with the devil? Everybody's walking with somebody. Well, you say, well, I got God in one hand and the devil in the other. No, you don't. Because God don't walk with the devil. Amen. You're either walking with God or you're walking with the devil. You're either going to be blessed or you're going to be cursed. You can mark it down. You're going to have God's blessings in your life, or you're going to have God's curse in your life. Amen. And the one who's going to make that decision is you. You got a choice. The Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. You want to walk with Jesus Christ? You want the blessings of God? You want to prosper? You want God to work in your life? Hey, then think about your manner of life. Think about that. Think about your meditation in the law. Think about your maturity in the Lord and what direction you're going. Because if you don't got them three things, you're going the other way. And the only verse that you're going to get is verse 4, 5, and 6. And that's the judgment of God. It's a new year. You ought to start it out right. We got a number of our membership at Fellowship Baptist that are starting it off wrong. As we speak, they're going away from God. And we're going to find them, because you always do. And we'll get that phone call, because it always happens. As a pastor, it makes my heart tremble. When I'm going through the prayer list and praying for the church membership and thinking about each family, I think to myself, boy, when are we going to get that phone call? Because I know it's coming. You say, why? Because they're going the wrong way. And the way of the transgressor is hard. And everyone who goes away from God finds himself in the exact same place. Nobody's exempt. If I decided this morning that I'm not going to live for Jesus Christ anymore, it wouldn't be long and you'd be getting the phone call. You know what happened to Brother Chris? Did you hear what happened to Brother Chris? Did you hear? I mean, man, can you believe that happened to him and his family? Yeah, because the same thing happens to everybody. Nobody's exempt. The blessings are walking with God. The curse is walking away from him. The great question this morning is, which way are you going? And it's hard to walk with God if you don't know him as your personal Savior. Let's stand for prayer.